Well, good morning, everyone. I'm sure many of you have heard of the book, Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus, right? I've never read it, but the intent of the book is to show how unique men and women are and to understand that uniqueness. Well, I'll tell you a little secret between Debbie and I. Debbie loves spiders. She will go out of her way if a spider gets into the house to scoop it up and release it to the outside. As for me, not so much. If I see a spider, it's a goner. Sometimes it's a race to see who can get to the spider first. On the other hand, if a roach gets into the house, and that's rare, and it crosses the path of Debbie, the neighbors may be tempted to call the police. Yes, I think they're creepy too, but not as creepy as an eight-legged arachnid. And yes, they will be a goner as well. The point is, there are things around us that might creep us out, whether we are man or woman. We have different backgrounds, different likes and dislikes. Some of that might be gender-related, but a lot of it is how we are molded and what influenced that molding. When it comes to our spiritual lives, God's desire is that we be molded into His likeness. Last week, we heard the entire creation story from the book of Genesis, and God said, "Let us make them, man and woman, in our image." How unique is that? How awesome is that? That we are the only creatures that God created that are created in His likeness. But each one of us is unique. Look at our gospel reading this morning. Jesus went out and handpicked these 12 men. They were each unique. Imagine today a bunch of commercial fishermen from the docks of Cortez, not too far from here in Bradenton, getting together with an IRS agent who also joined up with a person steeped in liberal arts of religion in those days called zealots. Combined also with various tradesmen, all of them unique. Well, that's what Jesus did with these when he drew these 12 men together. He took all these guys away from their trades. They just walked away from it. "Come on, Peter, come with me. I'll make you a fisher of men. Come with me, Matthew. We'll collect souls. Leave your table." He takes them out in the street, and he starts doing some things that some might consider to be a little weird, like preaching about the reality of the kingdom of God. He started praying for people with diseases, and they were healed. And when everyone saw what was happening, naturally they wanted to see more of what was going on. People by the droves came out to see Jesus. It didn't take long for the word to get around. Matthew tells us that Jesus saw the crowd and he had compassion on them. Now let me ask you a question. How many times do we let our busyness get in the way of our compassion? Compassion means to have concern for others. These lost souls that were coming to Jesus had all kinds of issues. Some were sick, some might have been possessed, some maybe just needed direction, but all of them suffered from the same common ailment. They were spiritually lost. But look what Jesus noticed. They were sheep without a shepherd. They needed the truth relayed to them. They needed direction in the hope that they all shared, because they needed to know the truth of the good news that is the gospel. But there is something around us that can hinder all of that. And guess what it is? Roaches. I bet you never thought you'd hear that in a sermon. My uncle, my mother's brother, was an entomologist. He worked for the state of Florida out of the University of Florida in Gainesville, a little school up the road a little bit. And his specialty was roaches. I heard stories from my cousins about the creepiness of their dad bringing his work home with him. There on the dining table as they ate dinner would be a jar of roaches. But you may already know, roaches are night scavengers. And if you get up at night to get a glass of water and there happens to be a roach in the kitchen on the floor, it scatters when the light comes on. It runs for the darkness. They work in the dark. They don't like the light. Well, neither does the sinful nature. Neither do the spiritual forces that would want to thwart the works of the Lord. From the very first sin that man and woman made, when they were tempted to not listen to God, was to step into darkness and hide from the light. And that is exactly what Adam and Eve did. They had this perfect union with God. They walked with Him in that garden. They knew God as they were created to be, and be willfully following their Lord. They knew God in a special way. But then temptation comes along, and they give in to that temptation, and they run and hide from the one that they knew the best. That step of rebellion against God was a step to lead the human race out of the light of God's countenance and into darkness that is separated from God. We need to know that there is a spiritual battle going on. When sin is exposed, it wants to escape to the dark. The spiritual battle that is going on our behalf is to expose the darkness in the light and bring healing and wholeness in that light. So here are these people coming to Jesus because they recognize the light. He is God. That is who He is. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And people are hungry for what He is offering. And Jesus sees that hunger, this need that these people, God's creation, is craving. And He has compassion on them. His heart pours out to them, these people who are coming to Him. So He says these familiar words to His disciples: "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." You see, Jesus can't do it all by Himself. He's not going to be physically around forever. He's not going to be able to walk on the streets and preach forever. He's not going to be able to lay hands on the sick forever. But He does provide a way. So He turns to this eclectic group of guys. Okay, IRS agent, okay, fisherman, okay, tradesman, even you, zealot. Here's what you're going to do. I'm going to give you authority over disease. I'm going to give you authority over leprosy. I'm going to give you authority over the roaches out there, the demons, the darkness of this world around us. I'm going to give you authority to carry My word, My promise, My compassion to the lost. And He gave them one caveat: only go to the Jews right now. You see, this was on-the-job training for them. It has to start with the Jews. Jesus was a Jew. These guys were Jewish. This spark, this initial beginning, will start with the Jews before it is spread. If you go back and look at our reading from Exodus, and we see God trying to get the attention of the people, He meets with Moses up on that mountain, and God tells Moses, "Say to My people this: you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to Myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey My voice and keep My covenant, you shall be My treasured possession among all people, for the earth is Mine." You know, when you look through Exodus and other Old Testament books, you see a strictness at times. And you might think, well, why did God do that? Why captivity in Egypt? Why captivity in Babylon? Why this or why that? Every one of those whys that we ask can be traced back to a roach. People turning their backs on God. People stepping out of the light and into the darkness. Every one of those issues could have been avoided. The captivity in Egypt could have been avoided. It was jealousy of a younger brother that got them there. But God used that in the future to provide a way out. Babylon could have been avoided if people had listened to God. They could have entered into the promised land earlier if they had listened to God. Oh, that we would have the patience of our Lord. Oh, that we would listen to what God wants to tell us. God loves his people. Again, he said, I brought you to myself. You are a treasured people. When so many times God could have just let mankind go, he had compassion on them. He steps in and provides a way out of the darkness. All of that was paving a way for this moment in time. All of that was to usher in Jesus Christ, God incarnate, to come to us in human form. He had such compassion for his created people that he was willing to come to us in person. And here in these dusty streets, as people crowded around, his heart aches for them. So Jesus sends out these guys into the harvest with his authority. And what Jesus told them to do. If you read all these accounts through the different gospels of how when Jesus sent these disciples out, you can see as how it all works together and what a stir it was causing. Can you imagine suddenly not just a group around Jesus are being touched, but hundreds throughout the area are getting healed. These people are hearing the good news of Jesus as the disciples went out. Remember, this is before the crucifixion. The disciples are moving under the anointing of Jesus' authority at that moment. He's allowed his spirit to be on them at that moment. King Herod, if you read in the other Gospels, gets word about all of this commotion out in the streets, and he becomes terrified. You see, he had just beheaded John the Baptist, and now light is exposing darkness. And like a roach, Herod has no place to hide because his sinful nature is being exposed, and the light of Christ is beginning to shine all around. The really cool thing about all of this is this. It's just a beginning. This little spark of hope lit a fire that still burns for all to see. Because when Jesus, perfect man, yet fully God, took the sins of the world upon himself, he opened the door of eternal life to all who would receive him. Not only that, but Paul reminds us in our reading from Romans just how marvelous this relationship is that we can have in Christ. There is peace beyond our comprehension. There is hope like none other. We can rejoice in the sufferings that we go through on the cause of Christ. Why? Because as Paul says, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who he has given to us. God has taken his spirit and poured it into all who receive him. Darkness has no more control over those who walk in Christ. And the authority that Christ put on Moses and the same authority that he had on the prophets as we read through the Old Testament, the same authority that Jesus put on his disciples as he sent them out, is the same spirit and the same authority that he placed on them at Pentecost. And now places on his church, the body of Christ. And the message he gave still rings true today. Come and follow me. Show my compassion to the lost. Show my compassion to the hurting. Tell the good news of Christ to all who will hear it. Allow his spirit to flow through you. Allow his spirit to empower you. When I gave my life to Christ some 41 years ago, one of the first psalms that really witnessed to me was Psalm 100 that we read today, because it rings out with the awesomeness of who God is. To think that he could come into my life like he did as I knelt on the floor of my apartment, trying to escape the darkness that I was trying to hide from, trying to know the reality of what life should be like. Christian musician Toby Mac has a song out that tells the story of my life at that time, and it's right now one of my favorite songs, as I'm sure it's a lot of other people's favorite song, because it tells the story of their life as well, especially Toby Mac, who sings it. It's called When Love Broke Through. And that's exactly what Jesus does by his Spirit. His love breaks through the darkness of life and brings light. We don't have to run and hide from the light. We come out and enter into his love. But folks, we weren't meant to just sit on that. We were meant to share it. Because there are thousands and thousands of folks who are waiting for the same kind of love to break through in their lives and bring them out of the darkness that they're experiencing. And it's a love that only God, through Jesus Christ, by his Spirit, can satisfy. Psalm 100 reminds us, "For his love is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." That's you. That's me. That's all who would receive him. Allow God's Spirit to fill you with all that he has for you. Allow him to use you. Be open to share that love that he not only has for you, but for all who are struggling and searching for truth in their lives. And that truth is only revealed by the light of Christ breaking through the darkness. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your life-giving Spirit. We thank you so much that you have come into this world to expose the darkness in our lives and to bring us into the light where we don't have to be afraid, Lord God, but where you bring love and wholeness and compassion. Father, we ask that if there's anyone here today who has never received that light into their life, that you allow them to open their hearts now, Father, to receive you as Lord and Savior. Father, we ask that you would move in all of us as we step out of this place. We are your ambassadors wherever we are. We are bringing the light and the salt to the earth that you called us to do, Lord. So we ask that you would use us in a mighty way in this community around us as we bring forth your word. For the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Help us, Lord God, to be laborers of your good news. We ask, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And we pray, Father, that you would use us mightily. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.